If you'd like to listen to our podcasts without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, enhanced show notes for select shows, and more. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or the first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code ECLIPSE to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code ECLIPSE. Thank you very much for your support. Good morning and welcome to the latest episode of the DSR Daily Brief. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Kotnor. I'm joined this morning by Riley Fessler. How are you today, Riley?
Pretty good.
David is on special assignment, so he won't be joining us today. So Riley, kick us off. What do you have?
Well, the Transitional Council in Haiti has sent to the Caribbean regional body CARICOM an outline for the establishment of a 9-member council to oversee Haiti's governance until presidential elections in early 2026. The council would consist of 7 voting members and 2 observers from various sectors, and will replace outgoing Prime Minister Ariel Henry following his resignation amidst the wave of gang violence that we've covered on this show before. The primary responsibilities will include electing a prime minister, forming a government, and ensuring the conduct of democratic, free, and credible elections, while no council or interim government members may run in those elections. The agreement, which also sets up a National Security Council to manage international security assistance, aims, of course, to stabilize the country by prioritizing security, constitutional reforms, and institutional restructuring. Great news. I hope it's a success, but given the severe gang violence that is still ongoing, they certainly have their work cut out for them, so we will keep an eye on this and on this show in the future. Chris?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that a date has been set for a military offensive in Rafah, where over 1.5 million Palestinians are sheltering. This decision follows weeks of signals from his government about launching an operation deemed necessary to eliminate terrorist battalions. International pressure against this move has been significant, with leaders from Egypt, France, and Jordan cautioning against its dangerous consequences and potential for regional escalation. Concurrently, discussions about a hostage prisoner swap and ceasefire are ongoing in Cairo, with the participation of the CIA director reflecting U.S. pressure for a resolution. Despite these talks, Hamas has expressed dissatisfaction with Israeli proposals, indicating no progress. The Israeli government is facing increased calls, including from a joint statement by Egypt, France, and Jordan, to reconsider its plans and address the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, now exacerbated by war and dire living conditions. Riley?
In the southern Urals of Russia, a major flood prompted the evacuation of thousands due to a dam breach exacerbated by poor maintenance, for which Russia's investigative committee has opened a criminal case. The flood, which severely affected the city of Orsk, led to widespread public dissatisfaction and protests against local authorities, highlighting the inadequacy of the government's response and the demand for better aid and compensation. Despite warnings and demonstrations being officially discouraged, citizens gathered to express their outrage, calling for the resignation of local officials and seeking intervention from President Putin. The damage is estimated to be about $226 million, with compensation offers deemed insufficient by the affected residents. The incident has reignited scrutiny over past financial misappropriations and structural integrity issues linked to the dam's construction. Chris?
The U.S. military conducted operations against the Houthi forces in Yemen, targeting their air defense and drone systems in the Red Sea area without causing injuries or damage to commercial U.S. or coalition ships. This action followed Houthi attacks on international shipping, notably affecting the Suez Canal and prompting naval responses from the U.S. and Britain. The Houthis, aligning with Iran and controlling significant parts of Yemen, justified their assaults as a response to Israel's military actions in Gaza which have led to substantial casualties and displacement. This regional conflict has escalated maritime tensions, impacting global shipping routes, and highlighting the broader geopolitical stakes involving the United States, Houthi militants, and other regional actors. Riley.
The European Court of Human Rights delivered a significant ruling mandating that its member states must safeguard their citizens from the adverse impacts of climate change. The landmark decision supported the case of 2,000 Swiss women, setting a legal precedent for future climate-related litigation within the Council of Europe's 46 member states. At the same time, the court dismissed similar cases brought by Portuguese youths and a French mayor, but all plaintiffs viewed the Swiss victory as a collective win, highlighting the obligation of governments to intensify emission reductions to protect human rights. This ruling marks the first time an international court has ruled on climate change, acknowledging the legal duty of nations to protect people from its consequences, and potentially paving the way for more legal challenges across Europe. So this kind of comes after the setback that was the massive farmer protests that caused the EU to scrap some of their climate-related legislation. But this seems like it might pave the way for future legislation. So it's a huge victory, and we'll see what kind of precedent it sets.
Before we go, I just have a few things. First is you will have heard the ads running on our network of shows. But for this week, we're offering a 50% discount on membership. You can use code ECLIPSE. And to take advantage of the offer, visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code ECLIPSE. The second thing is that we mentioned about a week or two ago that we are hosting an event in Washington, D.C. that will feature a conversation with Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. We still have seats available for our members. If you'd like to attend, please visit thedsrnetwork.com and click on Get in Touch, and we will record your response and let you know if we still have space available. But as of right now, there's plenty of space available. And the final thing, shameless plug, is my latest podcast episode is out, the Hittin' 50 podcast. And the conversation focuses on the importance of strength training for individuals over the age of 50. So that's all I have. Riley, anything else from you?
That is all from me.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. And we will be back, hopefully, with David tomorrow with another episode of the DSR Daily Brief. Until then, stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye. Thank you.